that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around.
And good
again.
Morning. And you know, that wheel's rolled around. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. The first time you can have coffee with the Wranglers in September of 2012. Not the last time, we hope, but the first time. So get your Bibles out, pour you a cup of coffee, and join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be back right after this.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And as we said, that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning. Time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. It's a cool morning here outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Kyle, what'd you say it was when you came through town?
It was 50 on the nose.
50 degrees. You know, parts of the south and southeast are still having a heat wave, but it sure feels good here. So we say good morning on this nice, cool morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
We say good morning to John down in, it's probably that cool for you down in Colorado too, isn't it, John?
I don't know. It's maybe 60. Not too bad.
It's awful nice. Nice, warm morning. Good kind of nice, anyway. Not a bad kind of nice. So, well, John, we'll ask you to open up in prayer for us this morning, if that's okay.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord, and we just ask for your blessings on today's coffee with the Wranglers, Lord. Pray that you would guide and direct us. You grant us wisdom. Pray that you'd grant us the thoughts that you want your people to hear. Pray that you would open those doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed. Pray that those that would be listening, if something comes to mind that relates to the subject or something they want to share with your people, that you would convict them to call in. Lord, we pray for Jason and his family. He was able to get away for this weekend and have some fellowship and good time. I pray for protection for him and his family, and pray that he would have a blessed time. Pray protection around him, and Lord, pray for all of us that are standing in the gap here, that you would continue to allow us to do your work. We pray it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, along those lines, John, standing here in the gap, I got a letter sent in from Pennsylvania I'd like to read, part of the correspondence that we get here. It says, to the Wranglers and staff, praying continually for you chaps, and your continual strength in these last days, as you faithfully continue the message to the remnant, that of our Father that was laid on the heart of Pastor Pete. That, quote, voice crying in the wilderness that Peter and Dr. Moore shouted out 25 and 30 years ago rings ever so clearly now in these last days. He often prayed, oh, that my eyes might see and my ears might hear. It wasn't easy for him to stand firm, and I know the pain and hurt he must have felt. Yet standing strong with those vibrant messages, the ones that you guys are replaying, shouting the warning signs to us, his remnant. By God, Richard, Jason, Kyle, and you, John, be strong. You have the salt to make that ride. We are here behind with our Father in heaven. God shall give you men the strength and wisdom to ride on. In Christ. And that's from Woody.
Praise God.
Thank you, Woody. Woody in Pennsylvania. That's sure encouraging to... I know it's encouraging to me. Well, Kyle, what you have over there? I see you flipping through your notes, and you've got your Bible open, and what are you going to bring with us? I'm going to drink some coffee. And
oh, I don't know what I got, but I'm always, you know, when you got radio programs, you know, and communion talks, it's really good for the soul, because you don't want to go on the air and speak something that ain't true. And so many of us have heard things our whole life that ain't true, that you think's true. And so, you know, sometimes it makes it difficult to not make mistakes, you know, so.
You mean like cleanliness is next to godliness? Isn't that in the Bible? There in Psalms somewhere?
There's so many things, you know, that it might just be, some of them might just be a hair off, but it might change the meaning, you know, and it's because of, you know, mainly because of the perverts on the pulpits. At one time or another, they brought in another Jesus, a different doctrine. They preached a different gospel, whatever you want to look at it. You know, they're deceivers. And, you know, and the people, the sheep, whatever you want to call them, the world order has them so busy all the time that they don't have time to find out if what the guy up on the pulpit's telling them the truth or not. I mean, seriously. Not to excuse the sheep, because they should make time. But at the same time, it's all a master plan. And so I was just going over some notes, you know, just like where, you know, you mentioned what he wrote in that letter, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, I'm never one to call myself anything like as far as the list goes, the fivefold ministry or whatever, where you got pastors, prophets, teachers, you know, calling yourself a name to me is you are what you are. You know, you're given what you're given. You're called how you're called. But there's no getting around it. We do go on the radio and we do teach. I mean, absolutely, right?
Yes.
So, you know, if a teacher's going to come upon stricter judgment, as it says in James, you better watch what you teach, you know. And I know some people think, you know, some of us just wing it, you know, or just, you know, say the first thing that pops into your head. It's not like that.
Right.
I mean, there have been times where I've shook my head and said, think before you speak. You know, I mean, and I'm probably, worst in the whole bunch because kind of my character.
Oh, I might start arguing with you there.
But my point is, you know, you mentioned the notes. It's good for us to have to always study out what you're going to say, you know, but at the same time, you know, I mean, it's tricky. It's not the easiest. You know, you pray for Holy Spirit guidance, you know, but a lot of times it's hard to decipher, is that what I want to think or is that what the Holy Spirit wants me to think? Now, when you come to the acknowledgement that there's a piece of scripture in there that you don't agree with, but you can't deny it, well, then you can say, that's Holy Spirit, because that isn't even what I want to think or say. But the ones that agree with you, it's like, you know, I gotta decipher whether this is from the Holy Spirit or whether this is from Kyle. You know, and that's basically what I was sitting here thinking before the program started and looking through some of these notes, doing a study on Paul and as Peter said about Paul, you know, some of the things he says is it's hard to understand because it almost seems contradictory, but it all harmonizes together if you let it. You
know. Right. You know. That was I do agree with that. I know I've come to the realization that. And sometimes I think we just have to say it. The Scripture is truth. You know, this Bible right here is truth. Mm-hmm. Our understanding of it, the way we read and interpret it right here, there might be an issue with that. But the Word is truth. And I think when we have something like that, we read it and it doesn't sit well with us. We might not have the understanding that we'd like to have with it.
Yes.
We just need to dig a little deeper.
You know, you take the subject of the law and grace, for example. You got people who are really hard on one side and people who are really hard on the other side, and there's scriptures that back up both beliefs.
Oh, there are.
You know, getting to that point where you can, like I say, determine and harmonize the scripture properly. It isn't an easy task.
No,
you know what I mean, and so pray for us.
I had a similar experience with a man that had been in the ministry for years, and I had said something like "dad" or "God," you know, "God had called dad home" or something. And if you look through the scriptures on death too, there's scriptures both ways.
You
lay in the ground until the end, or you go to be with the Heavenly Father. So, I mean, there some things. I don't know if there's a 100% answer. I suppose the Holy Spirit can reveal, you know, what the 100% answer is, but it's kind of the same thing. There's scriptures to end, and you know,
and sometimes there's more than one answer.
Exactly.
If somebody asked you, how does a car run? There's many answers to how a car runs. You know, none of them are wrong, but that, you know, from the outside looking in, if you don't know anything about cars, you might say, well, which one of you is telling the truth?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, we're all telling the truth. There's 20 ways a car runs, you know.
So. Right. And you know what? And we all, well, hopefully we all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, too. So we may have one position, you know, early on, like Dad had a position regarding the devil early on, and later on, you know, he researched and people showed him things.
And he grew in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can do that. You look back at the 100 series and the 200 series and even into the 400, 500, 600 series messages. And then you look at the ones that we saw a video church not too long ago, and he's mentioning about the frequencies and setting up frequencies and this and that. You know, he revisited that here just a few years ago.
Right.
And it, there was, because he had more insight on it. He had grown a little bit. He had more knowledge in it. And isn't that how it's supposed to be? Aren't we supposed to not remain as children in the milk of the Word, even though his milk back in those early series was some beefsteak?
Yes.
But we are. We are to grow. And I remember the pastor saying, if we had everything figured out about this Bible, if you can figure everything out about God, then how awesome is God?
Right.
It decreases who He is if you can figure everything out about Him and His Word.
Right. And we it's a living Word.
It is.
You can never. I mean, it's a lifetime.
It absolutely.
You know.
It is. And so.
And the more you read it, the more you get out of it. The more it reveals to you. The more you dedicate yourself to Christ, the more you become closer. You know.
Yep.
Absolutely. And
I mean, I'm learning
longer,
that.
The longer you walk that straight and narrow path, not being perfect, but being forgiven, and the more you read in the Word, the more it's opened up to you. That's that gift of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of that gift that keeps on giving. You keep on receiving the blessings from it.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's those that are out there that try to hold you to a position that was made, you know, even years ago. And I'm listening to some of these sermons that Dad did, you know, so many years ago. It hits you, you know, like, well, wait a minute, that's not what he thinks now, but he did then, you know.
Right.
John, you've been married, what, 18, 19 years?
Yeah.
And your feelings and understanding of marriage is certainly different now than it was when you first got married.
Yeah.
I know mine is.
Well, I mean, this...
Got a couple kids in there, and it changes everything.
Most people that have the same opinion as they had when they got married, they're divorced.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
Yeah, good point.
Good, very good point. It is.
Got to work at it.
Well, we will have the phone lines opened up, 307-745-5913. This is live radio coming to you on September 1st, quarter after the hour on WTWW Shortwave, also broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the Internet. Our website is scripturesforamerica.org, and you can go to our network website for a complete broadcast schedule. That's SFAWBN.com. And the program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We all have coffee, and we are, as named by the Pastor Peters, the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're sitting
here, like that name,
at the Radio Ranch outside of Laramie, Wyoming. It is a working cattle and still have a couple horses left ranch. It's been haying season. We've been trying to put some hay up. The old timers around here talk about it being a big winter coming, and that may very well be. So when you have cattle, it's just about any animal, you have to make sure that they are going to have feed through the winter. It doesn't seem to be as critical back east. When I lived in Florida, you'd have 60-degree weather year-round, so it wasn't a big deal with cattle. And even in the Carolinas, you'd have the full four seasons. You might have to put a little bit of hay up, but not much. But out here, it's a little different. You can have a humdinger of a winter and end up having to feed almost daily. And you've seen that, Kyle.
Yeah, 3 years ago, 30 below, you're going out on the tractor every morning unrolling a 1,400-pound bale. Last year, we were talking the other day, we kind of only did it in just give the cows a little treat today, you know, because the snowpack just wasn't here.
Didn't have the snow.
Yeah.
But you have to be ready.
Sounds like you're complaining.
Oh, no.
No complaints. So, I mean, have you seen that tractor with the heater? No complaints.
That's
know?
Right. The full
so
cab.
So it takes you 30 seconds or a minute to get out and cut the netting or whatever off the hay. That's no big deal.
Right. So you have to be prepared, and that's kind of what we've been doing. And it's an annual thing. You have to be ready. And those out there that run cattle, they know that. Or if any type of farm or growing, you have things you have to do in each season. And this we've had a beautiful late summer. We're about 2 weeks away from the start of fall. We'll mention that. We have a 91st day coming up in a couple of weeks. That's in September. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's 17th or 18th. I believe it's the 17th. And it's coming up in a couple of short weeks. And the seasons are beginning to change again. We've had a beautiful summer here. And I think we've maybe been sheltered because the rest of the country has had a tough summer for the most part. They've had record heats set in the Northeast and in the Southeast. And then they followed that up.
Given us the rain that we needed up there. We had a good hay crop this year, and most people are, you know, complaining. Hay prices are going through the roof. And
they have.
So praise God. He's made provisions for us for sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have another email I wanted to share with you. It's from Roy. Haven't heard from Roy in a little bit, but he sent an email in and said, it's just been a while since I've emailed. I've been listening on the Internet live streaming. And he says, I miss Pastor Peters much, but I know I can't be selfish and sad, but I think about him almost every day. He educated me so much with his preaching and teaching. And I just wanted to share that with everybody because for almost the entire year, especially several months after Pastor's passing, we received emails and letters like this, and we thank each and every one of you for sharing your thoughts and your experiences with the pastor. And we certainly feel the same way. Roy goes on to say, I just wanted to suggest this to you. I remember that Pastor Peters liked to talk about the cartoon Popeye and the Christian message in it. And he sure did. He'd say, you know, I am what I am, and I've taken all I can take. I can't take no more and can't stand no more. Well, Roy goes on and says, do you remember the cartoon Underdog? Oh, yeah. And I remember the cartoon.
Here I come to save the day.
Underdog was, quote, a superhero.
And there's no need to fear Underdog.
That's right. That's all from our, 70s and 80s. We remember that. He goes on and says, because I guarantee you this, my children, I don't think, know who Underdog is. I don't think maybe they remade it a few years ago, but anyway. It goes on and says, Underdog was a superhero, and the villains were always trying to kidnap and torment Underdog's sweetheart. Do you remember what her name was?
I don't.
John?
Penelope or something.
Sweet Polly Purebred.
Oh, yeah, Sweet Polly Purebred, yeah.
Think about that.
Wow.
Sweet Polly Purebred. I think the cartoon suggests that and this is from Roy, that the Edomites and the aliens amongst us are trying to destroy the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by stealing away true Israel's women who are purebreds in the eyes of the evil Edomites, aliens.
Yeah.
Sweet Polly is an innocent woman. It's interesting to the view of the cartoon in the light of the greatest love story never told by Pastor Peters. Keep faithing in Jesus Christ. Sincerely, Roy.
It's interesting.
It is. It is.
Well, the thing is, Kyle can attest to this, but having watched as many messages and listened to as many messages over the years, even the ones that you think you know what was taught in it, the key to learning is repetition. And when we're sitting in the church and we're watching some of this stuff from years ago, and I remember when he preached a lot of them, but I'm sure getting a lot more out of them these days than I did then.
Well, just look at it like this point. Let's say you're not very old. You're 8 years old, and you read a 12th grade math book. There's going to be very little you understand in it,
Even if you read Robinson Crusoe.
Right.
Just a storybook.
Right. By the time you mature, and you grow, then you'll be able to understand more. And like we were saying earlier, and don't think that's done, because you're going to be maturing and growing your whole life,
Right.
So every time you hear a new message, which might be an old message, you're going to hear things and see things that you never heard and seen before, and you're going to go, man, how did I miss that the first time or the first 100 times?
Right. Well, it's just like when I mentioned earlier, Pastor talked, it was just a couple of weeks ago, about frequency and setting up the proper frequency. And he mentioned tuning forks and different things. Well, I know I've heard that message before, because we were on the tape ministry for years, 10 years before we came out here. And so I know I've heard that message before, but even just a couple of years ago, a few years ago, when he revisited the frequency, it's all about frequency and the tuning forks and the things like that. When I heard it the older message, that was, even though, like you said, it was an older message, it was a new message,
right,
for me. I'm in a different position now. I'm not going to say which way, but at a different level of spiritual maturity or immaturity, as some might say. But 20 years later, with 20 years of life experience and 11 years of being here at the ranch, things have different meaning to you now. I'm taking more notes watching the Sunday sermons now than I ever did.
Yeah.
And they have more meaning. I think they are more relevant today than when they were first put out.
Oh yeah.
And similar to the Word, I don't mean to say that the Word is more relevant today, but it certainly applies today.
And that's part of why it tells a novice, or a beginner, not to teach, because they don't have life's experiences, for one, to be able to teach on certain things. We've all grown up is because we've had children, and as life comes and you have loved ones like children, hardships come, chastisements come. So many things come with it. And people don't understand why, when you read the qualifications of a bishop or an elder or some of those, it's like, it says you must be the husband of one wife and have children. Not one child, but children, because that's how you get teaching in a lot of ways, and learning. And then, situations come up to where, well, I better figure out what the Bible says about this, you know, because I don't know how to handle it, you know. And I mean,
exactly. Those life experiences, marriage, children, more than one. Yeah, just one. Oh, that doesn't count.
Not that having one child is a sin. Sure. Just that's the qualifications for, you know, for people that teach.
And it's because those type things, those type experiences, they change your thought processes from what works in theory to what works in application.
Yeah.
Richard took that to the extreme.
Yeah, he did.
No, not at all. But it does. And that's where we get to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Yes.
Where,
yeah.
And I'm learning more and more the more that I read the Bible and going through it, you know, time and time again. When you've had the life experiences that you've had now versus even a year ago, much less 5, 10, 15
right.
years ago, weeks, you can say, months, days, when you go back and read the Word, because it is that living Word, it has new meaning. And it has new application.
Yeah.
I see baptism more and more throughout the Word so much. We talked about it a little. I talked about it Thursday night. We had a good talk Thursday night about kind of, we had a writer, I think we mentioned it Wednesday night, a person wrote in asking about how to do a good Bible study. It just gets lost reading through, skipping here and there. And the more that I read through it, and you have to do that. You have to have time in the Word. But the way that baptism just jumps out off the page now, and how you can see it more and more, even in John 3, it's talking about new birth, Nicodemus. And it's when he says, how can a man be born again when he's old? How can he re-enter the mother's womb? And Jesus answers and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, he's already been born. The pastor brought this out. So it's that born of water is not that you have to be born from your mother's womb and the sack that surrounds you there and all that. No, you have to be baptized is what it means. And right after that, you know, he is baptizing a little bit later that in John 26. Behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. That simple fact, that simple truth, if you will read the Word and accept the truth, then more truth will come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, when you confirm, because, you know, Pastor Peter's taught us all to prove the Bible by the Bible. That's the best way to do it. You know, you can prove it by this theologian over here and this, you know, this scholar over here, but those guys lie sometimes.
Simple.
But if you prove the Bible by the Bible, you know, then you can come up with the truth, you know, and what you're reading there in John is almost exactly what it says in Titus. And it says in chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you look up the word washing there, you'll find that one of the meanings is baptism. And if you look up the word regeneration there, you'll find it's talking about being born again. You know, and then it goes on.
Well, that's what regenerate means.
Right. But if you just read it, because we've all heard the term in our lives, oh, you're a regenerationist.
Yep.
You know? You know.
Right. As a negative thing, but you should be able to raise your hand and say absolutely.
Right.
Because that's what the Bible says.
And when they say that, they're trying to make it seem bad. You know what I mean? It's like if you happen to agree with something Calvin taught, you know, but it's all over the Bible. They'll say, oh, you're a Calvinist.
I don't even know
Calvin.
I've been accused.
You know,
of that
I'm
before.
A Christian. You know, now if Calvin believed in Christ on this particular subject, well, I guess we're like-minded. But no, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not one of these guys. You know, I want to be just a Christian. You know, follower of Christ. You know, so I mean, anyway, the point is you can prove the Word by the Word. Now there might be a thing or two in there you can't. you know?
Or don't quite understand.
As of yet,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, on issues such as this, you know, I mean, it's so simple, but yet, if you are blind, you're blind. I mean, I've came to that conclusion.
And what did you talk about Tuesday night? If you're
dead,
you're dead.
You're dead. You know.
You can be if you're dead. You can be born again.
You can come alive.
But if you're not born again yet, I was too. But if you're not born again yet, you truly are dead. You're dead to the Word, and you are dead to the Spirit. You may have had a Damascus Road experience. Was it Damascus Road?
Yeah, he was on the road.
That Paul had.
Yeah.
You can have, but until he went on and got baptized, he wasn't a Christian. He had just had an experience.
Yeah.
He had had a life-changing experience, but he went along with that. And didn't just say, well, now that I've had the experience, because if he would have, his eyes never would have been
opened. He became a believer because he called the Lord, Lord.
Yes.
You know, and the Lord says, why are you persecuting?
Right.
You know?
But that same word tells us even the demons believe. Right. The demons call Christ, Christ. They know who Jesus Christ is. The Word says that. You know, well, we know who you are, Jesus, or we know that Jesus of Nazareth. And so, you know, belief is a start, but if that's your end, that only rates you with the demons. That only rates you with Saul, as Paul, still on the road, blinded, and not seeing, if that's as far as you go, is belief.
Your turn, John.
Time for a sip of coffee. Because it is Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I was just looking here. This New York priest says he deeply regrets if he hurt anyone by his comments that priests accused of sex abuse are often seduced by their accusers and that their first-time offenders should not go to jail. Well, he's right. They shouldn't
right.
go to jail.
Right.
They should be killed.
Amen.
But it's irritating. Watching these priests and pastors and just sell out constantly,
yeah,
because of public opinion. But
well, see,
it was
that's
encouraging.
That's one of the next big things that are coming, John. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but
no, go ahead.
They, if you look generationally, we used to not have abortion. And they mentioned abortion, and they talk about abortion, and they talk about it, and they talk about it, and it becomes part of the public consciousness, and then it's okay to the masses. And they used to not have women's lib. And they talk about it, and they talk about it, and they talk about it, to where pretty much it's just part of society. Okay? And they talk about all these things. The more that they can bring it up, the more sin that they can just make common ground, even if they're just talking about it, you get accustomed to it. Murder's the same way. We talked a couple weeks ago about the little 23-year-old blonde, Megan Boker, there in St. Louis, just visiting, and two black niggers walk up and shoot her dead in their street in their car, and that's just what they were. They were black niggers. There's white ones, too, but that's just what they were. And there's no outrage. There's no, it's just, you know, same old. You know, NFL's fixing to start preseason and blah, 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 and the hurricane, blah, and there's no outrage. It's just because we're just accustomed to it. Here's another. You know, that family was torn apart. Destroyed. You know, here's another promising young one. It's just statistics is all it is because we are so hardened to it. And the next thing that they have in mind, these bastard enemies of Christ, is pedophilia. That it's okay to go have abuse children and have sex with children. That's what they want. And that's why it is just continually before you all the time, over and over and over. They had some beanie wearing Jew in New York or Boston, I think, and it was another Jew boy that he found, and attacks him and kills him, dismembers him, cuts him all up, and all this kind. Just part of it. It's just part of it. That's just a further. It's not progression. It's progression for them. But it's a degression for us. A further descent into sin for our society. Anyway.
Yeah, and it makes society a zombieist society.
It does.
You know, I mean, at first, you know, they just didn't look out their window. You know, I mean, And now they can just walk right by it. I mean, just look straight ahead and, you know, speak yabba dabba do, and just, I mean, they just walk, they're zombies. You know what I mean? No emotions, no, you know, I can't say that because that's wrong, because I've been told by, you know, what they think is all the clergy that's wrong to judge, you know, so it's just a zombie land that we live in, you know, and then there's the true ones that have been that way from birth, you know, that walk around like that, but society is in such a bad shape because, well, we know why, you know, because
the sin in the land. Sorry, John, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm just thinking when you guys are talking that what's happened is the, like Pastor taught us too, that people have got hardened hearts, you know.
Yes.
The things that used to bring you to tears or bring you to taking things into your own hands, we've become a passive nation.
We have. A hardened heart. Do you remember, Pastor said he remembered hearing about it firsthand. But back in the days of World War II, movie houses were just coming up good, and they were having movies, and they showed real photos of dead servicemen, like on, I don't know if it was Iwo Jima or somewhere like that. And I've seen the picture since then. Pastor has it in a book here somewhere. But he said that when they showed that picture of
people were throwing up, servicemen
that were dead on the beach, that people were throwing up and leaving and gasping and could not believe it, because they were so sensitive to it, because they knew that those young men on the beach were like your son, Kyle, and like my sons, and like your sons, John, and like Chris's sons out in North Carolina, and like Pastor's son. They had a love. They had a sensitive heart and a love for the brethren. They loved their neighbor as themselves. And in a couple three generations, we have gone.
Human life's not on top anymore. Like Jason's been saying, you know, gold and silver and possessions have flip flopped to where human life isn't important.
Yes.
But they've done that through abortion and through pornography and just harden the people's hearts, you know. Anything to keep them away from Christ and true Christianity.
In 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And that's what we're talking about. And it's like they don't even have a conscience anymore. And they don't care about others. They don't care about themselves.
They're zombies.
Yeah.
They're zombies.
Yeah. You know, you pray for the pruning of the vine. And then when you see it, sometimes you're like, well, why God, you know? And it's like, duh, you know, do you want your prayers answered or don't you? But, you know, there's particular family that no longer part of the ministry that lost their patriarch not too long before we lost our pastor, and the decisions that are made now are not only affecting the ministry, but the decisions they're making are affecting their
family,
their Christianity, and their eternity. And I know for a fact that if the patriarch was still around, that wouldn't be the decisions that were being made. And it's sad. It kind of hurts your heart to see those not falling away from the ministry, but falling away from God.
Yes. Yeah. We are told to persevere to the end. And that means that through the hardships and through the trials that come.
I really don't get it. I mean, I get it what a blow it was when Pastor Peters passed on. I mean, I get that big time.
Oh, yeah, firsthand.
But, you know, our Bible that we all love so much, all these men have passed on. You know, and so I don't understand, but we're all different, but I don't understand how death can separate you from basically truth. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I had a video of Apostle Paul preaching all these messages in here to all these churches, I'd be watching that.
All the time.
I mean, I wouldn't say, well, he's dead. You know, it's the truth of the living word. You know, I mean, you're going to get something new out of it every time. And, you know, and we live in a visual society where, you know, it's basically evil, but there's certain things you can use it for good. And we have all these messages on video. I just can't imagine how somebody wouldn't want to see a true man of God preach the word of God. I it baffles me, but then again, you know, I'm not God, and, you know, God does it. I mean, when it all gets settled and the dust all clears, you know, he gives those who want to have eyes to see, you know.
I had an opportunity this week over at the electrical supply place to witness to a man that he's a Christian, and he's pretty much always on fire for the Lord, and we get to talking some, you know, and I've shared some things with him, some meat, you know, a little at a time, and he starts to think about it, and then he'll read the Bible, and he'll say, you know, you're right. But this time I went in there, and he was all down. He had his hand wrapped up, and I go, how you doing, brother? And he goes, well, you know. And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, he had planned on taking dirt bikes out with his son and a couple weeks ago and cut his finger real bad, so that ruined that weekend, you know. And then a couple weeks later, he planned on taking dirt bikes out with his son again, and he broke his wrist. And he says, like, I'm just starting to wonder, you know, if God mad at me or something. And I said, you know, I said, either you believe Romans 8:28 or you don't. You know, you're supposed to rejoice for all things. And if you don't, God will give you that test over and over again. So are you rejoicing, you know, that you weren't able? Maybe you would have broke your neck. Maybe your son would have broke his neck, you know. And then I told him what Pastor Peters told us, that he never had a bad thing happen to him. And, you know, and I told him, I said, this is from a man who lost his childhood sweetheart to cancer at 50, lost his only begotten son to a single, mysterious single car wreck at 33, countless other trials and tribulations that he went through just to teach the remnant. And for him to go up there, you know, with pretty much not a whole lot of energy left and proclaim that, that's just a testimony that rings in my ears. And I said, do you believe Romans 8:28 or don't you? You know, that the Lord works all things for good for those that love him, those that are abide in him, and those that are called by his purpose. And he almost teared up and gave me a hug, and he says, you know, you're right. And I said, Lord only tests those he loves. Just remember that, you know. So I thought it was a good opportunity to witness.
Amen. Sure is.
But, yeah, the other thing I've been thinking about, God and his infinite wisdom, you know, this ministry. I remember Dad saying, he talked to Sherry early on, and he said, well, I guess we're going to be like Paul and make tents and preach, you know. So that's what he did. He went around the country, and he preached and built a ministry little by little. But God built this ministry all across the country. He didn't build some big church, you know what I'm saying, in one location that could be vilified and attacked and even, who knows, you know, sabotaged, whatever. But he knew, obviously, the appropriate time when pastor would be called. And he built this ministry, which was largely a video ministry, you know, started out being radio and tape and went to video. So for the people out there, it's not that much different because they're still watching, you know, a video, whether it's from 18, 25 years ago, whatever, it's still, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a church at home. If it was a mega church and you tried to put up some sort of a video or something, I'm not so sure it would work. So I think God's infinite wisdom, he built this ministry with the plans of the future. So that's just what came to mind.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember him saying, before really DVD started, you know, before CD started, you know, he was saying that the tape, the little cassette tape, was going to be a hole in the dike that they weren't going to be able to stop, you know. And that was a vision that he, you know, that's when he started recording all that stuff 30 years ago. I mean, just, wow.
biggest things that impressed me when I first started going to that church was, I'd never been to a church where they don't pass an offering plate, you know. And there was no offering plate. There's an offering box in the back. They'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you the promise. What's that?
And it's screwed to the wall.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he'll tell you the truth. He'll tell you the benefits and the, you know, the problems if you don't follow God's law regarding tithing. But he never pushed it. I can't remember any time that he ever begged for money or ever, you know, pushed, people to give. I mean, right. He taught tithing, but it was tithing to benefit the remnant, you know?
Right, right. And he would explain that this ministry had to be run like any other business.
Yeah.
You know, we have people that own their own business. I think of a couple in Arkansas that have like a tractor supply business and people out in Colorado Springs that have a big landscaping business and things like that. And you know, you have to, what you can do in this world that we're in is based on the funds that you have. And he would explain that, you know, he has to run this, and he did, and it's still run that way, that you still have to run things as a business. You have to pay your bills every month, and you have to have, you know, money to be able to broadcast like we're doing.
Yep.
And that, you know, the electric,
not cheap.
The electric bill at the shortwave station would choke a whole herd of elephants and things like that. And so he never held back in letting the remnant know the truth along
right.
those lines as well, you know.
Yeah, none of that's changed.
No, none
but
of that.
But you know what? You know what he'd always say? He'd say, we're going forward in faith.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing.
We still
and
are.
That was one of those subjects that, you know, that you've seen the perverts on the pulpits abuse
so much,
you know. I mean,
and become rich and wealthy and
right, you know, and people, it's like crying. Well, people get tired of it, you know. So, you know, you don't want to be the guy who's like, "Hey, I got good news for you," you know, and all you have to do is give me 10% of your salary, because that sounds like
what the perverts have
right,
done.
Right,
and they have done such a good job. They perverted love.
Yeah.
They've perverted John 3:16 so much that most people don't even want to hear it. But you have to get beyond that. You have to realize that is still truth.
Right.
And in Malachi, when God says, test me on this and see if I will not keep the devourer away from you if you stop robbing me in tithes
right.
and offerings. That is truth. Now yes, the enemies, Joel Osteen. Oh, now he might not tell you, send me your money, but he does, and he lives in a multi-billion-dollar place and has jets and everything else. That's his reward. That's all he gets.
Yep.
And there's so many others that are out there.
Well, he might get a lot more, but
well, sure.
Oh,
but,
teacher. I mean,
but that's right. But there are so many out there that do that, and you see them with their smooth talk and their mansions and their fleet of cars and their jets and all the stuff, and they'll get their reward according to their deeds. Those that have fleeced the flock. But the promise is still there. But the enemy does that. They take what's good and proper, and they always pervert it.
Yeah.
But the promise, the base, the truth is still there. The truth is still there in John 3:16, that God did so love the world that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. Now, we all have sons, and I can't imagine telling my son, saying any of my sons, son, you need to go die for this people here. And they're going to hate you. Most of them are. And they're not even going to understand why you're doing it, but they're going to talk bad about you, but you need to go do this. That's unimaginable to me. But God loved the world. That God is a God of love, among other things. He's also called jealous and full of wrath. We have to get beyond how the enemies of God have perverted love. We also have to get beyond, because if we don't, we don't get the benefits of that love of God. Now, that's not all there is about God, but if we don't, we don't get the benefits. And it's the same way with tithing. If we don't get beyond how the enemies of God have perverted it, then we don't get to experience God's crazy math, how he can do more with 90% than we can do with any amount.
Right. And it's all for the body of Christ. It's not for me,
right,
or you or us, or it's for the edification of the body. It's to help them. Every subject, whether the subject is faith or righteousness, whatever, it's all for edification of the body. You know, love, faith, hope. Yeah, I mean, tithing, whatever. I mean, I don't see myself teaching on tithing because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I don't want to seem like I'm begging for money. You know, there might become a time where,
right,
the Holy Spirit says, no, you're going to, because this is, right now, this is a need. People need to, sure, hear this stuff. You know what I mean? And I remember Peter saying, I've neglected this subject for so long because he didn't want to come across as a beggar, you know?
Right.
And so it's one of those things that's hard to decipher, you know what I mean? How to do it, you know, when to do it, where to do it, you know what I mean? But it's still the truth. And, you know, it's the truth that sets people free. All the truth. The whole Bible. You know what I mean? It sets you free. You know, so, and that's part of it.
Absolutely. When you come to the understanding of the love of God in the Bible, it does tend to set you free. When you can read and see and understand and accept and share the hatred that God feels, the hatred that his people felt, that King David felt, don't I hate your enemies, God, with a godly hatred? It sets you free. It lets you realize that there are some that are your brethren that you're to forgive 70 times, and there's some that aren't. It sets you free. It you grow. That's growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's the same way with tithing. When you can realize, one, when you can find a place to tithe to that puts the truth out, but then when you can tithe to it and do it faithfully, you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you come to that realization of baptism. Got a letter here from Jack, again in Pennsylvania. Sent me an email yesterday morning. He says, I was just baptized at the Church of Christ in Pennsylvania. He says, now what? Isn't that a question?
Now it begins.
Now what? And I take it that Jack's a little bit older because his son, I think he and his son, oh, yeah, both got baptized.
That's great.
So now what? Well, Jack, we'll get with you next week on that. He goes on and says, I need to let this bitterness go. I don't want to be so snake-bitten that I'm useless to God. Now, see, he already has godly wisdom, mm-hmm, right there. So, Jack, if you're listening, you that's a start. Let the bitterness go. You have to let the bitterness go and let God take care of whatever bitterness you have in your life. So if you're listening, Jack, hear what John said earlier when he quoted Pastor Peter saying nothing bad had ever happened to him. And Romans 8:28, that God works all things for good, not some things for good, but God works all things for good for those that are his, that are called and chosen. You've been baptized. I'll put you in that category of being his and called and chosen for whatever his purpose is. And so the things, the challenges that you faced, the adversity that you faced in the past, learn from them, but don't hold on to that bitterness. Don't hold on to that bitterness. And that, I think that would be a start.
Sounds like he's already started.
Does. It does. I like that. Now what? I'm going to highlight that.
How much? Oh, we got about 7 minutes left.
Yeah. John, we got a new prayer for September.
Oh, good.
Send it over to you, and I think it's pretty good. We'll be working on mailing that out. Monday's a holiday, Labor Day. So if you're on DVD Church, that'll be extended out an extra day next week because of the post office and everything being closed on Monday, but we'll sure get it all processed and sent out on Tuesday, the good Lord willing. And you may ask DVD Church, well, what's that? Well, glad you asked.
How'd you know I was asking?
We do have church services every Sunday morning, unashamedly, on Sunday morning, at the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado. And you can join us there. If you want to drive out, just give us a call and let us know you're coming. We'd appreciate that. We have a woman coming in 2 weeks on the 9th to get baptized, so a week from tomorrow. And I've shared those emails. I think it's Kathleen or something like that. And we appreciate that. But if you do want to come visit us, give us a call. We'd be glad to tell you where we're at and have you in. If you can't drive out to Colorado, you can also join us on the Internet at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. You just tune in tomorrow morning, Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern, and noon on the East Coast. So you get to sleep in a little bit or take care of whatever you have to do on Sunday morning before you join us for church if you're way out there on the East Coast. And we'll start off at 10 o'clock with a scriptural insight and study, a little Sunday school type message. Might be but from the pastor, might be from me, might be from Kyle or Steve, you never know. We'll have some singing.
John
will do a nice welcome. You can see who John is.
Well, I was saying, John, scriptural insights?
John,
coming up?
It has some scriptural insights coming up. He, you know, John, he's the generous type. He wants to allow us to have our fill first. And then we'll have a communion. It's important that you do have communion and partake of communion with the fellowship, with the like-minded believers. And then there'll be a message, like watching the Apostle Paul deliver a sermon. It'll be a Holy Spirit-inspired sermon. So we do invite you to church on Sunday mornings. Got a phone ringing. Let's see if we can get to the phone before we run out of time. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Calvin here.
Good morning, Calvin. We were talking about Calvin earlier. Probably different Calvin.
Jack, in Pennsylvania, one thing you can do is rejoice. And
amen.
In Colossians, my life verse, Colossians 1:13, be thankful that he in his mercy has rescued us. You from the dominion of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of dear son. How blessed can you be?
Amen. Absolutely, yep.
Amen.
I'm just amazed. And by the way, in the double witness in the Proverbs, all who hate me, God speaking, love death. And if that's what they want, they're going to get it.
Amen.
And tithing, I told a gal at the credit union and somebody else, I said, it's my favorite time of the month is when I get paid so I can tithe. I just rejoice in the ability to do it.
Amen.
Hey, good show.
Thank you, Calvin.
Thanks, Calvin.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Good to hear from Calvin.
I've heard Guy say that a bunch of times. You know, he loves... It's you love to obey your Father in heaven.
Absolutely.
It's simple.
It is.
Yep.
It is. It's not hard to figure out. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. John, thanks for joining us. Kyle, thanks for getting up and driving out to the ranch this morning. And
yes,
we
sir.
Thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in again on WTWW Shortwave, frequencies 9480 and 5755, and also on our 24/7 broadcast on the Internet at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We're going to go out with this song. Pastor sure liked it. I like it too. See you at church tomorrow, man.
Rolling, 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 this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.